Up the offering, let me just kind of pass on a couple of things to you. Just before we started, Tiffany came to me and said, if you have somebody that wants to go to camp and you're afraid to send them, she is down there this summer as a lifeguard. And I said, now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But she said, don't worry. Linda says it's a bad thing. So anyway, Tiffany's down there. If you have any questions about, camp or you're worried about your son or daughter down there, Tiffany will be down there, and so that will be, they'll be watched over and taken care of. Next week, I start a series on David, Transformed by Passion, and we're going to spend 3 months looking at the life of David. So if you'd like to read ahead, the scripture is there in the bulletin. The sermon will be on what God looks for, and so I hope that you'll kind of read ahead on the life of David. You'll find it in 1 Samuel, most of it. And then just want to let you know that after our worship today, Stephen, Barb, and Joe and I are heading to Pittsburgh. We're going to watch the Pirates play some team tomorrow. Name of the team. The Reds. So that'll be interesting. We'll either have a good ride home or a bad ride home. I don't know which, but anyway. What's that? Bad for somebody, yeah. I don't think you're going to finish with a tie. Anyway, if you have any questions, if anything comes up, please call Jerry Staniford or Chris Wayne Scott, and they'll be glad to step in. I'll be back in on Tuesday. You might want to be praying for Jim and Diana. They're down in Florida. She's trying to still clear up the whole estate of her aunt who died, and I know they sold the condo, and there's a whole bunch of art that they have to get rid of, and they come back on Wednesday. So the office will be closed tomorrow anyway, and there will be nobody there Tuesday, but there will be some people there working at the building if you wanted to stop by and see it. But I know some people will kind of say, well, I think I want to wait till it's all done, and then I want to look. So I'll be back in the office on Wednesday, and up until that point, please call Jerry or Chris, and they'll be able to help you out any way they can. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to read the whole chapter as we finish out this four-part series on Transformed by Love. And so I want to start with verse 1 and read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us to be good lovers. That you will help us to be the kind of people who exude the love of Jesus in all that we say and do. That as we walk through our homes, as we walk through our neighborhoods, as we walk through our place of work, as we walk through our place of play, that we will show Jesus by our love. Jesus once said that they will know we are his disciples if we have love one for another. And so I pray that that will be who we are. Thank you for this time of being together. Thank you for the time to worship you and to honor you and to call you holy. Thank you for the time to honor you at your table and to remember the sacrifice of the greatest lover of all. But now, as we study your word, I pray that you will help us to understand it. Help us to grasp it, to be able to take it and apply it and make it personal and then make it applicable to our life. Show us how we can love as you love us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Albert Einstein, or in his book, A Love Worth Giving, Max Lucado tells a story of Albert Einstein and his sister Maja. After Einstein's wife died, Maja came to live with him. And for 14 years, she took care of all the household affairs so that he could continue on with his very, very valuable research. But in 1950, she suffered a debilitating stroke that put her in a coma. From that point on, every afternoon for 2 hours, Albert Einstein would sit next to the bed of his comatose sister and read for 2 hours from Plato. Never once during that time did she ever acknowledge, ever get alert, ever bat an eye, in any way acknowledge that he was there. But his feeling was, as whether she did or not, she needed to know that he believed that she was worth his time. We spent 3 weeks talking about love. We've talked about love's priority and how it's the most important thing of all. And then the last 2 weeks we've been talking about love's profile, about how love is patient and kind and so on. And to me, what Paul does here is he kind of wraps it all up with this coup de grace. It's kind of like his last hurrah in the sense that he brings it all together. And he talks about love's permanence and how everything else will go away, but love won't. And so that's what I want to do this morning, is I want to take a look at Paul's words and show us how love is permanent and lasts forever. First of all, let's get focused on this thing, and I'm going to tell you something that I know that is earth-shattering to you. You probably have never heard this before, but just in case you haven't, I want to share it with you, and it's this. Loving people is not always easy. Earth-shattering, right? Loving people is not always easy. And actually, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Because you know as well as I do that sometimes there are people who are extremely, extremely hard to love. It takes everything within you to love them. Every once in a while, you will hear someone say, you know, if you have 1 day, 1 week, or 1 month left to live, what would you do with the time that you had left? Would you, for example, run and grab your college diploma and cling it to your chest as though that's an important thing? Would you run to your ledger, your business ledger, or to your business or to your bank account and say, oh, this is the most important thing in the world. I love this. Would you run to your car, your motorcycle, or your bicycle, put your arm around it and say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You've given me so many hours of pleasure. Silly, isn't it? I hope that you and I would wash aside all those other things and we would do the one thing that is the most important thing of all, and that is that whether we have 1 day to live, 1 week to live, or 1 month to live, that we would love the people who are closest to us. That is the most important thing that we could ever do, is love the people who are closest to us. Now, if you would turn and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, There are three words here that Paul begins our section with that kind of stand out. Verse 8, he says, love never ends. Now, if you were to look at other versions or translations, you would find out that it says love never fails, love never dies, love lasts forever. Basically, what they're saying is love never ends. They're all saying the same thing, just in different words. And I hope that we all understand that love doesn't die. Love never fails. A government will fail, but God will not fail. Our money may fall apart. Our money may turn out empty, but God will not turn out empty. God's love never fails. In fact, that's what Max Lucado says to do, is when you read this passage, put in God as you read. So in other words, God's love is patient. God's love is kind. God's love does not envy. God's love does not boast, and so on. Love never ends. The word fail or ends actually is the word that's used for a leaf that falls off a tree and it withers and dies and decays. And when he talks about ending or never, he's talking about time. So basically what it says here is that at no time will God's love ever decay, fall, or die. I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me. Because what that tells me is that God's love for me does not hinge on my love for Him. Just because I tell God in the morning, I love you, does not make Him go, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I think I'm going to love you even more today than I did yesterday. And then if I wake up in the morning and it's one of them days and I don't feel like loving God at all, and God says, well, forget you. See, God's love is not determined by how much I love Him or don't love Him. God's love never fails, never decays, never falls off, never withers. It stands forever. So God doesn't love me anymore, doesn't love me any less than He always does. Now, what Paul is doing here is he contrasts love, which lasts forever, with that that is temporary. He does it three ways. First of all, he says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. For tongues, they will cease. For knowledge, they will pass away. Now, the words used for prophecy and knowledge with pass away literally means reduced to inactivity. So those things, he says, prophecy and knowledge will be reduced to inactivity somewhere along the line. And then evidently, whatever the perfect is, that's what it's referring to. And then he says, as for tongues, they will cease. That word literally means to stop, to come to a point where there's an end. My purpose this morning is not to discuss when all that happens. That's another time, another place, another sermon, another study somewhere. What I want you to see is this. God is making a contrast between those things that will last versus those things that are temporary. He is making a contrast between love, which will go on forever, and those things that will eventually die. You see, again, I repeat, God's love will never die. God's love doesn't hinge on whether I love Him more or whether I love Him less. God's love doesn't hinge on whether you feel like loving Him today and you don't feel like loving Him tomorrow. He's going to love you regardless. In fact, God's going to love you when no one else does. He's going to love you when everybody else ignores you. He's going to love you when someone divorces you. He's going to love you when you feel abandoned. He's going to love you when you feel ignored. He's going to love you when you feel left out. He's going to love you even when you feel criticized. Because God's love is not determined by how we are. He's going to love us anyway. So let's get started on, let's talk about love as we bring this to a close. One of the, if you've ever been a parent, which I know most of you have been, and you're a father, there are three words at Christmas time that I did not want to see. Some assembly required. I pictured myself Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock in the morning, legs crossed on the floor, tools around me, instructions all over me, my eyes crossed, and whatever I'm trying to make crossed. It's not straight, it's crooked, because I am mechanically challenged. And so I made a rule at Christmas time that if you buy anything that says a some assembly required, you assemble it before it is required. Before we get there, you have it put together. Love's the same way. Love takes time. Love's a process. Love grows. It's not something that you look at somebody and say, oh, I love you, and you're as deeply in love as you possibly can be. Love grows. Now, I want to show you that there are four truths that we can latch on to about love as we bring all of this to the close. And we're going to go to another passage of Scripture eventually here in a few seconds. But I want to start it by saying this. Love is of God, not man, so get connected. And here's what I want to say. Simple truth. If you hope to love like God loves, and if you hope to have the ability to love as He loves, you need to be connected to God. You cannot love like God loves if you're not connected to Him. Let me show you a passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It's page 1023 in your Bibles. And this is where the rest of this is going to come from. Next few thoughts. 1 John chapter 4. I'd like to read that, so if you have it there, let's read it together. Beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us first and sent His Son to be the propitiation, which means an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. If we're going to love like God wants us to love, we have to understand that we have to be connected to God. This scripture is so clear. Verses 7 and 8 tell us that our love is rooted in God's character. God is love, and it's rooted in Him. The second thing we can see here is that love is a reflection of His presence. Verses 9 through 12 show us that in this the love of God was made manifest among us, and that was that God became flesh. And it's manifested in His presence. And finally, it's the result of His power. Look, if you would, it says, no one has ever seen God. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. That's our power. John 15 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want to love like we're supposed to love, His presence has to be in us. Number two, love is an act, not a feeling. So just do it. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Love is the behavior that we choose. It's a behavior that we choose. Love generates feelings. But feelings are not always a good thing. We can't trust our feelings all the time. Here's the thing. When you love like you're supposed to, it's like the ripple effect takes place. It's like when you toss a stone or a pebble into a lake, what happens? It spreads, the ripple effect. That's what happens when God's love is in us. The ripple effect takes place because as He affects us, what happens? We affect others. And the ripple effect goes out and spreads around and gathers in other people. But you see, we have to choose to love. It's not a feeling. So that means that we are kind to someone who doesn't deserve to be kind to. That means that we are patient with someone who has hit our last patience nerve. Number three, love is a gift, not a wage or a bribe, so give it freely. When I use the word bribe, there are people, and you've seen this, parents will bribe their children. If you will do this, then, or a teenager or a child will say, if I do this, then, you see, and so it becomes like a bribe. Or a spouse will say, if you want this, then you do this. Love is not a bribe. Love is not something that we just toss out there. It's a gift, and we are to give it freely. And finally, love is an obligation, not an option. So pay it. And I know that sounds off kilter. That sounds kind of harsh when I say it's an obligation, because whenever we hear the word obligation, we immediately think of something that is forced. You know, I'm being forced to do this. It's not what it means. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 13. Owe no man anything except what? To love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Look at verse 11 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let me close with this simple thought. All that matters in the end are two things. Number one, your relationship to Jesus. That is the most important thing that matters. And number two, what kind of lover were you when you were here? Now, that's not going to determine your salvation. But what it does determine is what you leave behind. See, the most important thing is that we love God. He's got to be number one. That determines where our salvation is. But what we leave behind and the legacy we leave with our family and our friends is determined by what kind of lover we were. Love never ends. Love never fails. Isn't that what Paul just said? So let me ask you again. What kind of lover are you? Father, thank you for your word. Help us to take a look inside ourselves and ask ourselves the question of what kind of lover we are. We've got to answer the question first, do I love you? And then the ultimate result then is, as John has pointed out to us, that if we love God, then we will love others. There's no way around that. So if I say that I love you, but I cannot love people, and I cannot love certain people, whether they are different race or a different color or a different makeup of me, and or because they irritate me, if I can't love, then I've got to go back to ask myself the question, do I love you? Help us to be people who love one another. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This week, I pray that people will know that we are your disciples, that we love you, and that you change us and transform us and make us new, and that we have been transformed by your love so that we can love somebody else. If there's somebody here today, Father, who's never been transformed by your love, may today be the day that they begin either seeking that or finally admit, I need you and there's nothing else I can do. Thank you for loving us in spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done, but that you love us full of grace, full of forgiveness. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing. If you have a decision to make, I invite you to come. Let's stand.